Episode 24. In this edition of the Leading Chaos podcast, I'll be talking about how to handle a situation when you see someone drunk on their own rage. Doesn't feel good and makes us want to run in the opposite direction. But sometimes, with a little bit of skill and a little bit of know-how, we can help that person in rage move through it and find safety for all. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We are sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos successfully and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Wincolor. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Indeed, we're talking about rage, and that's something that we don't always like to discuss because it feels sticky and yucky. And well, who wants to be in the room with anybody who's in rage? Now, what do I mean by rage? That's when we are in a tizzy, a frenzy, a fury. Where tempers are flaring, our nostrils are flaring, and maybe our fists are down by our side or up and ready to strike. Ugh, yuck. Let's talk about something else. Not. Because this is part 7 of an ongoing story, the Leading Chaos story, where I am detailing pieces from my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management, and sharing them with you. And I've been tangling with chapter 3, which is titled, Am I Safe? And as I spoke in last week's episode, part 6, which was on emotional first aid and the beginnings of this model, what I was discussing is that there's so much here, and I'm just really breaking it down. And I want to spend a little time on this concept called drunk on your own rage. And this is something that I teach in all the trainings, all the response trainings. And when I say response, what I mean is the response training programs. It's a curriculum. It's a crisis intervention curriculum that I founded back in 1986. And it provides staff development trainings to a wide assortment of people. Essentially, if you experience violence, you could benefit from response. And it doesn't have to be physical force violence. Conflict in and of itself is violent. And who doesn't need that skill of learning how to communicate when tempers are flaring? So let's get back to this concept of rage. Eek. Boo. It's a scary thought indeed. But if you have a little bit of knowledge on it, and like I said, we all do, it's easier to manage. Let's first define what I mean by drunk on your own rage. And it is very in alignment with intoxication. And what I mean by that is intoxication with alcohol. It's a standard within the emergency medical community that if you're assisting a person who is intoxicated, you know until their blood alcohol level decreases and they are thinking rationally again, that they will not be able to communicate very well with you. They might be saying a whole bunch of stuff, and you could say a whole bunch of stuff to them, but as the saying goes, it goes in one ear and out the other. So what I like to think about is if I'm dealing with somebody who is intoxicated, is that I don't need to say a lot. And that's the beauty of this work, is that when you realize that your role is not to overspeak a person or overwhelm them, you could actually make life easier for yourself and them that you are assisting or those who you are assisting. So drunk on rage is that same concept, that instead of being intoxicated by alcohol, the person who is drunk on their own rage, the intoxicant is the actual anger. It's this feeling that just kind of starts boiling up. You can almost imagine like a boiling pot. It's simmering, simmering, simmering. Then it gets to that boiling pot point and it's just flowing over onto the stove. And so a person in rage is like that. They're just flowing over. And like the person who is intoxicated on alcohol, they're not hearing a lot. Maybe if you're lucky, they're going to hear one or two words that you say. Bear that in mind, one or two words. So what I like to do is when I think about that is the realization again that I don't have to say a lot. Now, how did this concept come about, drunk on your own rage? Well, going back to chapter 3 of my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management, I talk about this concept of being drunk on your own rage. And what I saw was during the course of facilitating so many role plays over my career, I saw two things that happened for folks that really messed them up when they were trying to role play an intervention with somebody. And they're pretending they were a crisis intervener, a professional, if you will, going in and trying to, say, manage a dispute between two people. What would classically happen over and over again is a person portraying the intervener, the quote-unquote professional, and that could be a teacher, it could be a person working in human services in some capacity. And what I mean by that is that like at a psychiatric hospital or a treatment facility for adolescents, some type of care center. And these are well-intending people. And this is where we kind of get bunged up. As well-attending people, we often get in our own way. And so I would see these folks role-playing that, and the way they'd get in their own way is by saying too much. They'd try to overspeak the person and give them a lot of information. Now, if a person is drunk in their own rage, I don't care if it's alcohol that is fueling that or not, but if they're just mad and upset, they're just not going to hear anything. And the bummer is that you actually get that person further upset and incite perhaps a little bit more of the rage unintentionally. We think we're doing the right thing by saying a lot, but in truth, less is more. Something to think about. Put that in your tool bag. Less is more. So this concept of being drunk on your own rage is not unusual. And as I mentioned earlier, we've all experienced this. A two-year-old's temper tantrum is a form of rage. That child cannot hear anything. And if the parent or the guardian is trying to say too much in that situation, the child just goes into that tizzy. And a person cannot think clearly until they are breathing at a normal rate of respiration, which is pretty low. It's only about maybe 16 to maybe 20 inhalations and exhalations per minute. Until that really declines, you know, down to that level, and they're able and willing to listen. Otherwise, they won't hear you. So it's a big gray area for so many people because they go into an intervention and often just blow it by saying too much. So again, less is more. So I saw this way back when, you know, people were trying to say too much and speaking to that person. And when you understand the concept that if a person is drunk in their own rage, then all we need to do is slow down and choose one or two words that we're going to say. And often we need to repeat them, not in a way that's going to bugger out the person, but a way that meets them. Now, what are those one or two words? And that's really the golden ticket, isn't it? And I'm not going to really get into that in this episode because I want to give you a little bit more background. And really, that's why it is the story, the Leading Chaos story, because it's building upon the skills. Before we get to the exact words, I want you to think about where you're bringing this. Where are you going to bring this intervention? What's your goal, essentially, of talking to this person? I mean, why are you engaging with a person who's drunk on their own rage? There has to be some purpose here. And I want to read to you the actual quote, because I begin all the chapters to my book with a little quote, because it's fun to do, and it kind of brings you into a different level. And this one is from Antoine Chekhov, and it goes, "If you cry forward, you must make plain in what direction to go. If you cry forward, you must make plain in what direction to go. Now, if you're talking to a person who's drunk on their own rage, you really need to know what direction you're going. And that, in turn, is going to help you decide what to say to that person. If you're responding with animosity and anger too, then probably your two words you're going to choose are not going to be very nice. But if your goal, and remember, I'm saying goal now because this is what this chapter is about, is the beginnings of setting up a protocol, which I refer to as a goal-oriented interventions. If your goal is to create safety, then that's a whole different ballgame. And that opens up a bevy, a whole mountain of options to do. The possibilities are infinite when you are seeking something that is win-win for everyone. If your goal is not that, and it's to like clamp down on this person and belittle them, then your choice of words are going to be, you know, frankly, really probably snide and not too nice. So that's, you know, something I will get into, no doubt. But I want you to start thinking in terms of, what is my purpose? Why am I engaging with this person? And if you have that kind of clarity, then that sets the stage. If you cry forward, you must make it plain in what direction to go or what direction you are going. Because if you're not clear on that, how are you going to help somebody else who's really drunk on their own rage? How are you going to take them along? It's just not going to happen. You're going to be like two wandering souls out in the universe, and neither will the two ever meet. You know, it's just a very difficult situation. So let's back up a little bit. So two things in getting back to this chapter, which is titled, Am I Safe? I saw, you know, way back then, okay, maybe it wasn't that long ago, that people were saying too much. And the other thing is that they did not have a goal. They had no purpose. So the intervener would be doing that role play, saying way too much, confusing it all, trying to make up stuff and deal with the silence. And they just had this one concept, and all they wanted to do when there was a conflict is to make it stop, to make it go away, you know, like as if you're going to, like a chalkboard and put on an eraser and just scrub it off the face of the earth. But that's not realistic. Conflict's not like that. People are not like that. We have to have some kind of purpose and aim. And the truth is, if we are being led in a way that is accommodating and meets us without belittling us, you know, we will follow people to the edge of the universe. There's no doubt about that. And that's what history shows us. So I saw these two things coming together, and it really informed me in the writing of my work and the designing of the response curriculum, in that I saw, you know, we're working too hard, we're saying too much. And two is that we don't have a plan of action. We have no idea where we want to take our interventions. So what happened was, is I started setting up the response protocol, a very clear, defined, what I call a recipe that brings you along. So you know, in any given situation, whenever there is an inkling of a conflict, you know exactly what your goal is. And that became a very beautiful thing, because instead of just merely trying to stop it and smear it off the face of the earth or make it go away, people started getting really clear and very methodical. And that clarity then went off into helping the people that we're trying to serve. I mean, think about it. And like I did back then, you know, here I was, this like, you know, kind of ex-EMT, ex-emergency medical technician. And you know, that was a very set protocol. I mean, medical emergency workers all have a very set protocol. You don't stray from that. If you do, one, there's some, you know, bad juju that will happen because you can't be diagnosing out in the field. You know, that's left to the doctors and the emergency room folks, who are much higher qualified than most of us ever are out in the field. And it's true for firefighters, you know, for everyone. They all follow a protocol. And the beauty of it is that In truth, we all follow the exact same protocol. And that begins with personal safety. So I'm going to hold that for next week. That's what we're going to be talking about, personal safety, and talking about this concept of am I safe, which is maybe a little bit different than you expected. Maybe it was about dealing with that drunk person, you know, who's all in rage and flying around. But the truth is if we can't secure our own personal safety, we're not going to be able to do it for somebody else. And that's something that I'd like you to think about between now and next week's episode. And this does come online every Thursday, sometime at the wee morning hours around 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the U.S. of A. And I'd like you to think about that, is that if you're having a focus on helping somebody else before you help yourself, can you really succeed? That's good food for thought. Sometimes we sacrifice ourselves, and in doing that, we are sacrificing everyone. And that's not just for crisis interveners, that's for any kind of emergency responder or family member. If you are not able to be rational and clear, you're going to have a hard time doing that for someone else. So as you're having your different interactions over the course of the week and until next time we are talking together, metaphorically, I suppose, what is going on for you when you're seeing somebody who is getting upset, their temper is starting to rise? Are they someone that you're going to be able to help if you are also getting engaged and allowing your temper to fly? Probably the answer is no, huh? But you be the judge. And if you have any thoughts on it, please get back to me. You could send me an email. I love getting emails. Send it to Rhea, that's spelled R-I-A, at leadingchaospodcast.com. And please take a moment to, if you are listening on any of the different apps, if it's SoundCloud, it'd be great if you could leave a comment there, or Stitcher. That's another great app. And please leave a comment there. And certainly on iTunes, which is like the big global bigwig of listening stations, I would really appreciate a review and a rating. If you are feeling drunk on your own rage, what you could do right now or the next time that you see that happening for yourself or others is take a step back and exhale. As always, this is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and think spring. Ciao for now.